I was challenged this week as I had been looking to the Lord what He would have for us in service this morning. And as I previously said, I believe the greatest honor has already been given to the mothers by your children and grandchildren. But I want to share something from the Word this morning. I'd like to speak about keepers. I'd like to begin over in Esther, in the book of Esther, in the 6th chapter. I'd like to begin reading with verse 1. It says, "On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus." Now, as you remember the story of Mordecai, how he had discovered at one point that there was a plot to take the king's life, King Ahasuerus, who Esther ended up marrying. And I took note who he had gone to tell about that plot. He went and he told the keepers of the door about the plot to kill the king. And I began meditating upon that, and why was it the keepers of the door? It probably had to do in part to the nature of the plot to take the king's life. So when he discovered that someone was going to kill the king, he went to the men who guarded the king. When the king would go in at night and shut the door and sleep, there were those that would stand outside the door. They were keepers of the door. And he went and he told them, there's a plot to take the king's life. But I thought we can look at being a keeper of the door as maybe an insignificant job. But do you realize because the keepers of the door knew that there was a plot to take the king's life, that that was prevented? So to be a keeper of the door was not some little thing. And I thought about it, the chief of staff in the United States, the president's chief of staff. It's kind of like being a head secretary. In a sense, you could say, well, what's a head secretary? And I know the chief of staff is much more than that. But the chief of staff is the keeper of the door. You don't get to the president unless you go through the chief of staff, usually. And if you try to circumvent the chief of staff, it's my understanding, you're asking for trouble. Because you don't go around me. I'm the keeper of the door. You want to talk to the president, you come through me. Well, these men were keepers of the door. The definition of keeper in the Hebrew means to hedge about. It's a hedge. To guard. To protect. To attend to. It said to take heed. To look narrowly. And you think, what do you mean to look narrowly? In other words, the keeper of the door, the word keeper means that you are focused. You're focused on something. And it means to save. To watch. That sounds like a lot of responsibility. To be a keeper of the door was guarding access to. Putting a hedge around about. But let's turn and see what other kinds of keepers there are in the scripture. If you will turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles in the 9th chapter. 1 Chronicles chapter 9 in verse 19. And Shalem the son of Kori, the son of Abiaseth, the son of Korah, and his brethren of the house of his father were Korahites who were over the work of the service, keepers of the gate of the tabernacle, and their fathers being over the host of the Lord were keepers of the entry. Now this was speaking about the priests and the Levites. Their job was to work in the temple. That's what their job was. And there were people that filled the position, and they were keepers of the gate. And their job was multifaceted. The keepers of the gate at the temple, when it was time for worship, they would open up the gates, and they would close the gates. They were the ones that collected the freewill offerings. Now, there was the offering of the tithe, but they collected the offerings. They collected the sacrifice, or the goodness, if you will, of the people that came to the temple. They also were there to be sure that no unclean person came in to the temple. They were keepers. They were to put a hedge around the temple. They were keepers of the gate. So now we have keepers of the door. We have in the scripture that there are keepers of the gate. Responsible position. They were there in part guarding the holiness that was supposed to be in the temple. Okay, or the tabernacle. They were supposed to be sure that if someone was not qualified to be there, that you weren't coming in. We are guarding. This is where the Lord abides. This is where the presence of God is, and no one is supposed to come in unless you perform certain ceremonies and rites. And they were also supposed to guard the way when the priests would go in to do worship and make sacrifices. The keepers of the gate would be sure that no one was there that was not supposed to be there. They were a hedge. They were to watch and to protect. And there are other scriptures that give examples here. If you will turn with me to Leviticus, because this is a very important part of the job of the priest. Before we turn there, if you'll turn with me, I'd like to read in the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, in the 40th chapter, and we'll begin with the second part of the 45th verse, he was speaking about the priest. And this was another job of the priest. Some of the Levites were keepers of the gate. There were some, in verse 45, it said, the priests, the keepers of the charge of the house, and the chamber whose prospect is toward the north is for the priests. The keepers of the charge of the altar. And then it goes on. But the point is, there were those Levites and priests. The priests here, they were keepers of the altar. So what was their job? And it's a very beautiful passage, and I won't even take the time, but in the ninth chapter of Leviticus, if you will read through the ninth chapter of Leviticus, it speaks about the keeper of the altar. It talks about their job. And they were to keep the fire burning on the altar. Remember, God sent down fire from heaven on the altar, and He told the priest, He said, keep that fire going. They would not go every day and light a new fire. But the keeper of the altar was to keep that fire going, that it never go out. They were to watch. A keeper of the fire. Keeper of the altar. That everything that is offered on this altar is to be holy to the Lord. The sacrifices that were brought to the altar, the keeper of the altar would be sure that those were without blemish. That they were acceptable sacrifices to the Lord. It's a pretty important job to keep the fire of the Lord burning, isn't it? They were keepers of the altar. Song of Solomon, in the 5th chapter, in the 7th verse. The watchmen that went about the city found me, and they smote me and they wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. Talked about the keepers of the wall. They were out watching the city. And we read in the prophecies in Isaiah and Ezekiel and different places about the watchmen on the wall. Keepers of the wall, their job was to watch for the enemy and to warn if there was an enemy approaching, they were to sound the alarm. They were keepers of the wall. And they were also there to watch again that nothing would come into the city that would do it harm. It's a very important place because if the keeper of the wall goes to sleep, what does the enemy do? Comes in, doesn't it? But if the keeper of the wall stays awake and the enemy comes in, the keeper of the wall is going to see and sound the alarm and wake everybody else up. So when everybody else is sleeping, who's supposed to be awake? The keeper of the wall. The one that's supposed to be on guard. The one that is providing a hedge around the town or the city or the village. The keeper of the wall is to be someone that has vision. Someone that's able to see the enemy and recognize the enemy for what it is. You want someone on watch that has good vision. You are out in the Think about used to in the West. You wouldn't want someone that was blind out standing and watch for you when there were enemies around. You'd want someone that could see, be able to look even when it was dark out and it was hard to see. You'd want someone that was able to have some discernment and vision and perspective. The keeper of the wall. Also in Song of Solomon, in the 8th chapter, in the 11th verse, It tells us that Solomon had a vineyard, and he let out the vineyard unto keepers. Every one of the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. There are keepers of the field. And what is a keeper of the field's job? If you're a keeper of the field, you're to plow, you're to dig, you're to plant, they're to water, and they're to be sure that you get produce. That's the keeper of the field, the keeper of the vineyard. Do you see how important these jobs are? We've talked about, we just touched on them, and there's so much that could be said of each one of these. But there's keepers of the door, guarding what is valuable. The king's in there. You're not getting the king except through me. The keeper of the gate. This is a place that's holy and sacred. We're not letting unclean things in. The keeper of the altar. We're going to keep the fire going. We're not going to let the fire go out. That's the keeper of the altar. We have the keeper of the wall who is out looking for the enemy, warning and guarding the city. We have the keeper of the field whose job is to nurture. It's to protect. Who said that being a keeper is a menial job? Who is it that says being a keeper is just an insignificant position or a place to fill? I think you know where we're headed. To be a keeper is important. To be a keeper is one of the most valuable, important jobs that there is. Keep the flame going. Watch for the enemy. Stay up and have perspective. Nurture and grow and dig and plow. Protect what is sacred. There's one more keeper that I'd like to touch on now this morning. Titus in the second chapter. Titus chapter 2. And we'll begin reading with verse 1. He said, "Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." And this was the reason he told the elderly women, the aged women, to be a good example for those coming on. Now, I've heard people say men shouldn't preach on this subject. It was a man that wrote this. But a man can only go so far because most teaching is done by example. A man cannot give the example that the Lord was looking for. And so he told the elderly women, the aged women, he said, "You teach the younger, yes, with your mouth, but teach them by your life. Teach them by your example." And he said that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. How do we teach? How would an aged woman teach a younger woman to love her husband? It goes beyond saying, love your husband. It goes to the fact that we would be able to look on the aged women and see them loving their husbands. Love their husbands and love their children. To be discreet and chaste. Keepers at home. Good. Obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. There is a lot that could be said about this passage here this morning. But I want us to focus on this word keepers. Has anybody ever asked you, sisters, what do you do? What do you do for a living? What do you do? Have you ever hung your head? I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm a housewife. I don't have a job. Whoever says you don't have a job? Has anybody ever said, oh, so your wife doesn't work? No, my wife works. But I have a suggestion for you sisters this morning. If someone asks you what your job is, tell them you're a keeper. What do you do? I'm a keeper. What are you keeping? I'm a keeper at home. I keep the door. I'm a keeper of the gate. I'm a keeper of the altar. I'm a keeper of the wall. I'm a keeper of the field. I'm a keeper. This was not saying that women or mothers and wives are to be relegated to an inferior position. The Lord knew that godly women and the sisters had an ability to do, as Brother Sean said already, a man, or Brother Tony, what maybe both of you did, a man can't do it. There is a place that women feel that God ordained that a woman be a keeper. A keeper where? To who? For what purpose? That a woman is to be a keeper at home. In other words, there is a position and a place that a woman, a mother, and a wife fills in the home that a man cannot fill. And I want to just, I appreciate, and I know it's not politically expedient to even touch on these subjects anymore. It, because people say, well, I can do anything a man can do. A man can't do everything a woman can do. It's no disgrace to say a woman can't do everything a man can do. God created us to be different. He created us with different strengths and different weaknesses, with different abilities, different roles, and different positions to fill. And God ordained that godly women and women in a family, in a home, that they would be keepers. And I freely acknowledge and say this morning that there are times that because of situations that life brings, that a woman has to begin to fill some roles maybe that is not always optimal to fill. And sometimes they have to step up and fill that place. But young women, especially this morning, I want to encourage you. It is not something to hang your head out, to have to say, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a keeper. I want to be a keeper at home. I want to be a keeper of the children. I want to guard and protect them. You see, to be a keeper at home means there is someone, and I'm not hiring this job out now. I'm not going to hire it out because someone that's hired does not have the vested interest that we have as parents. And God gave that role to the mothers and to the wives. Be a keeper at home. And I want to encourage and challenge the mothers, keep guarding the door. Be a keeper of the door. Don't let anybody into your home. You understand what I'm saying there? I'm a keeper. In other words, this is an important job. I'm not going to let my children just anything come in that they want to bring in. Anything that says comes to the door and knocks on the door, I'm going to look through the little peephole first. And if I see this is bad for my family, I want to keep the door. You're a keeper at home. What a responsibility. And I, again, we are so blessed to have you sisters as keepers. Continue to keep the door. It's important. Well, what about, you know that word keeper here in the Greek? It means a stayer at home, to be on guard. Keeper at home. Guard the home. Keep the door. Keepers at home are guardians and caretakers. And part of that has to do with being a homemaker. You know, a keeper at home is one that makes the home. You know, there are things a man, again, most of us men, we're just pretty lacking. There is, a woman can make a house a home. She can make it by the things that she does, by the atmosphere that she can create. By the little things. You know, I've always wondered, pillows, it seems like, were created to lay your head on. I don't know about you men, I come in and pillows are piled on the bed. And they're supposed to look, they look pretty. You know, they have all the little coverings and the matching colors and all that. And then you go to bed, you have to toss them off somewhere. And if it were just me, I don't think I'd have them, because then in the morning you got to put them back up on the bed. It would be just as easy not to have them. But do you know it's those kinds of things that make an attractive home? It's those kind of little things that our wives and our mothers did and do to just make it more attractive and inviting. To be a homemaker. And I want to challenge again and encourage that the sisters, you know, grew up hearing it taught by Brother Austin, but it's scriptural, to make the home inviting for your husband to come home to. You know, when if the home's not inviting to be there, it's just as easy to stay and work some overtime. But when a wife is a keeper, she's a keeper, she's at home making it attractive and making it a place that's inviting, making it a place that the children, oh, I can't wait to get home. Making it a place the husband says, I can't wait to walk in the door because I'm going to be met at the door by a keeper. By one who has been guarding and making the home a place that I want to be. That's an important job to be a keeper, folks. It's a wonderful place to be. And it's a vital truth that cannot be overemphasized this morning. It is foundational to the role and the function that wives and mothers are to have. That they're keepers. Well, and that's biblical. It's not political. See, it's not politically expedient. We live in a society that tries to gear the young women to be career-minded as opposed to being keepers. But I want to say it takes a lot more time and energy and effort and wisdom and intelligence and sacrifice and success to be a keeper than it ever does to go out and get a job somewhere and say, I'm an accountant, or I'm an attorney, or I'm a chef, or I'm this. Do you know I know you sisters that are keepers at home? You know you wear so many different hats. I mean, we can talk about the cleaning, your chefs, your maids, in other words, cleaning. I'm not talking about do this, do that. But your maids, your chefs, your chauffeurs, your teachers, your all of those things, and that's just not even scratching the surface. But most of all, what encapsulates the role of a godly woman is she's a keeper. I'm a hedge. I'm a guard to this home. Well, the scripture in Proverbs 31 asks the question, who can find a virtuous woman? You say, well, I'm a stay-at-home mom. You've all have heard the little story about the wife that the husband came to his home one evening when he got home from work. And he looked around, the house was a wreck. And his wife's hair wasn't combed and she was sitting in the chair just all relaxed reading a book. And no food, no, this supper wasn't ready. And he said, what are you doing? She said, well, I'm just doing today what you always think I do. You know, being a keeper isn't sitting around reading a book eating bonbons. Being a keeper is hard work. So I'll say again, thank you all. Thank you, sisters. Thank you, mothers. Thank you, grandmothers. But I want the younger women here to know, and the young girls and the children, it is honorable to have this as your goal. I want to be a keeper. And I want to say something to the young men and the boys. You honor the role that God has given to our godly sisters. There is no more honor due than to have a keeper. Now we said, is this just something? Well, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. The Lord doesn't want you to be just a stay-at-home mom. The Lord doesn't just want you to be, well, I'm just a wife, or I'm just a mother. No, I don't have a job. Oh yes, you're a keeper. I want, Renee, next time on an application, it says, what do? It's fine with me for you to write down keeper. I'll say, oh, what's that? Are you working at a zoo? No, I'm a keeper at home. I'm a keeper of the gate. Sometimes it may feel like a zoo, but I'm a keeper of the gate. Anything that comes in our house, I'm a keeper of the altar. Keeper of the altar. Sisters, keep the fire burning. You let the fire go out in your life, and this, you will see the spark go out of the lives of your husband and your children. Be a keeper of the fire. Keep the love fervent. Keep the love burning. I'm a keeper of the fire. I'm a keeper of the altar. I'm a keeper of the gate. I'm not going to allow that in my home. The children, oh, what kind of music? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you bringing in the home? Moms, you're a keeper. Guard the home. Guard what goes on in those earbuds. And I know we can only do so much, but you're keepers. Watch! I'm a keeper of the wall. What happens when mom goes to sleep? Things start happening. Things start happening. Oh, it's not just when the children are sick with the flu. When the children get sick, with the things of this world. I want to encourage, and I know dads have an important role to play, but to the sisters, the mothers this morning, don't be ashamed to step up to the plate and say, I'm a keeper. I'm going to guard. I'm going to guard the wall. And when the children come and say, but I went to camp meeting or I went to church or I went to Monarch and everybody else is doing, your role is to be a keeper of the wall. If everybody else is doing it, but I know it's bad for you spiritually, sisters, keep on keeping the wall. Keep on being a mean mom. Keep it up. When the children say, oh, it's a mean teacher, I'm thinking, yes. Yes, a mean teacher. What does that mean? It means they make you obey. It means they make you be quiet and they make you do your work. Good job for mean teachers this morning. And I say good for mean mothers. You know what I'm talking about, mean moms. Mean moms, I'm not talking about losing your temper and being ugly. That's not what I mean. But I'm mean. I'm saying this morning that a mean mom, as the world would say it, is one that makes your children behave. When the children misbehave and they do need some correction, be a keeper. And do you know what? There's a reward from that. There's a reward from that. Be a keeper at home. Where make the home a sanctuary. So I'm very thankful for keepers this morning. Thankful for the guardians. I'm thankful for those that keep the fire burning. I'm thankful for those that are, I think about my mom, and I've said it here before on Mother's Day, but I remember as a little boy coming into the living room after I got out of bed, and mom's sitting there and she has those red creases across her forehead. She'd been down praying. She was being a keeper. She was being a keeper of the altar. She was praying. She was watching. She was caring. She was loving. You know how much that means? How can we pay a tribute more to you, sister, this morning? You are not inferior when the world looks on and says, well, what is your career? You are keepers and God bless you for it. And I would that all of you sisters have a goal and a purpose that, Lord, I too want to be a keeper. I want to be a keeper. And over in Ezekiel, we won't take the time to read it, but God was bringing, He spoke some judgments on the priest. He said that you brought strangers into my sanctuary. He said that you brought the uncircumcised in heart. He said they broke the covenant. He said you did not keep the charge of my holy things, but you set keepers in my charge in the sanctuary. In other words, you put people to fill all these different roles and they weren't qualified. Who is more qualified to be a keeper than a wife and a mother? Give you $10 an hour to be a keeper. No, that's our job. That's the job of godly women and godly sisters. Again, I'm so thankful that we have keepers at home this morning. Keepers of the door. Watch who has access to the children. Keepers of the gate, you've been entrusted with something very precious this morning. Keep the gate. Keep it. Keepers of the altar, the spiritual things, keep the fire burning. Keepers of the wall, keep an eye out. Give warning. And one that I didn't say as much about, but we'll conclude with it, is keepers of the vineyard. Nurture. Plant. Take care of. Weed. And there's a trust that you have been given this morning, you mothers, you wives. You've been entrusted with one of the most important positions and jobs in this world, and that's to be a keeper. You're not unemployed. You're not just a housewife. You're not just a mother. You're a keeper. And I will conclude with this, and it's just a little play on the word, but as I was meditating on it, I thought, for us brethren, I'm going to change the title, okay? I'm going to change the title for us brethren. But this is what lesson we need to get out of this morning. I appreciate that I've got a keeper in my life, and I want to keep her. I want to value her. I want to honor her with respect, with love, with consideration. Thank you, mothers, again, for being keepers. Thank you, grandmothers. Sister May, she's not in here right now. I think she's out being a keeper. But I thought about the sacrifice this morning when I looked over there. I thought, you know what? That love doesn't stop. That it's just there to keep on loving, keep giving, keep warning, even when sometimes it may seem like it's in vain. It's not in vain. And you sisters, again, you are in such a high position this morning. You're keepers.